Turn in your Bibles, Acts chapter 2. If you are Pentecostal, this is a famous text. If you are not, you can be. And this will be a special text for you. We're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit today and some struggles with it. I have struggles with it. You might have struggles with it. We are doing this series called Finding Fire because some people struggle with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is why we are going to try to amass a little bit of knowledge about it. Does that sound good?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Lord, we come before you this morning, and we don't want to be confused by your word. We don't want to be confused by your activity. Lord, we do want to be transformed. Lord, we do want to experience all that you have for us, Lord. We ask this morning that you would come, guide, and direct us this morning, that we might indeed come to know your plans for us, that you would come close to us, be transformed by your presence. Pray that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit can be a challenge. It was a challenge for me. Such a struggle I went through for several months, 6-8 months. In fact, I left my church. It was a multitude of things. This was one of them, struggling with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, struggling with speaking in tongues. This kind of freaked me out. It was not something that I was totally comfortable with. Anybody relate to that? Oh, yeah. So I started going from church to church to church, and I kid you not, every church I went to, they were speaking in tongues. I'm like going, what is this? Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Pentecost, people who look back to Pentecost being Pentecostals and the move of the Spirit are called Pentecostals, and it makes up a third of the Christian churches, maybe a quarter. But for every church I went to was a Pentecostal church, and not every week you show up and they will be moving in the Spirit and speaking tongues. But every church I went to, every service I went to, and I would then go up to the pastor. I had no clue what Pentecost was. And I go up to the pastors and say, what is this going on? And they would say, don't worry about it. It's cool. God will make it clear to you. I'm like, I ain't coming back to this church. I go to another church, and they would again be speaking in tongues. And I remember one pastor came up and said to me, he said, hey, if anybody's got a question about what just happened, come and ask me. And I went, what's going on? He goes, I'm making an appointment for you. Went and talked to him. Don't worry about it. He said, how do you know it's real? He said, you don't got to worry about that. He goes, I got to worry about that. The only thing you got to worry about is, were you edified? Did God speak to your heart when that happened? And I said, yeah. He goes, that's your job. I'll determine whether or not it's real. If it's not real, I'll stop it because I'm the pastor of this church. But you don't got to sweat it because I'm looking out for you. And I said, I'm not coming back to this church again. And I went, and I'm kidding you not, it was like 10 churches in a row. And it, you know, there's just no way that happens on chance. God. So I ended up back at my church, dealing with some of my immaturity, and got okay with my, and there's 5,000 people in my church. I never talked to my pastor. I'm talking to my singles pastor, but not my pastor. I just kind of, okay, I got to get over this stuff. And then there were these people that were going to come on a Sunday night. And they were, their ministry was teaching people and explaining the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And through this process, I came from this rejection of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to know more about it. If it was real, I wanted to receive it until finally that Sunday night when they were coming. I could not contain myself. I was so excited to learn more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that night I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the coming weeks, because we're going to be talking about finding fire all through June, okay? And we're going to be talking about some of the stuff that goes on with the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all that kind of stuff. It's okay to be confused by the things of God. That's why you got me. That's why you got Pastor Paul. That's why we have teachers here that are familiar with the text and can bring understanding. Amen?
Amen?
Come on now. Everybody's going, what is he talking about? Well, we're going to take 4 weeks. We're going to get through all this stuff. All right. So, God was doing a work in me. I couldn't wait for them to get there. Message today, it's called Looking for Change. And I was indeed looking for change on that Sunday night. And my question for you this morning is how real do you want to get with God? You know, how close do you want God to come to you? I mean, would you be cool? I mean, really, think about it. Would you be cool if fire covered the ceiling? Or would you be running for the door? Let's just say, no, the building's not on fire. There is no danger. This is just a manifestation of God. I still think there's a bunch of people running for the door. Now, it's like, okay, he's 4 feet away. I'm okay. But when individual tongues of fire come down and rest right on your head, there's some people running for the door. Why? Because we just really don't want God that close. You know, God is kind of like our dry cleaners. You know, it's like, man, I got a problem. Here you go, get our stuff, comes back all wrapped up and nice. That is as close as we want God to get. We don't want to mess them with the clothes when they're on us. We want to just have a little delivery service. Do you get what I'm saying? So my question to you today and through this whole series is, how real do you want God to be in your life? Because he's got as much as you can handle. As much in your heart as you want to open to him, he's got that much, and he's got more. We are the governor, so to speak, like a throttle in your car. You can only push so hard. We are the ones who hold God at arm's length. And these people on the day of Pentecost, they were waiting a week, saying, whatever you want, God, wherever you want to go, whatever you want to do. They were looking for change. So what are you looking for in Pentecost? You ready for change? You ready to be transformed? Because a lot of you like me, I'm not, it's a little crazy for me. I was saved like a month. I was saved a month, right? And I'm thinking, wow, you know, they had church on Monday and they had church on Wednesday. And I'm like, wow, this is so exciting. And they had this prayer meeting on Saturday. Prayer meeting. I'm like, hey, prayer meeting, I want to pray. Yeah, man. I kid you not, I lasted 1 minute in that prayer meeting. The pastor came up and said, let's just praise God in the heavenly language that the Lord has given you. And I went, man, all these people are nuts. And I literally ran out of that building. Freaking me out. God will stretch you. He doesn't want you freaked out. But he'll stretch you. How much change do you want? He's got as much as you can handle. Amen?
Amen?
All right. We're going to take a look at Acts chapter 2 today and hopefully not freak you out and hopefully not chase you out of the church for 6 months going from church to church to church. You can talk to me. There's now 5,000 people here. You know, you can talk to me. Get a burger afterward. We will talk. All right. When the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly the sound, it was just a sound, it wasn't wind, it was the sound like a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. This was a supernatural touch from God. No two ways about it. This was not a TV show. This was not anything fake. This is real deal, life-transforming stuff. They heard a big sound, and we didn't have amplification back then. So what did it sound like? I mean, the closest thing they had was, it sounded like a big wind. Loud. And it wasn't just them that heard it. It was the people in Jerusalem that heard it as well. They saw fire. So they heard and they saw, and God was touching them in a very tangible way. How much do you want? How much can you handle? Because God came close to these people. And they were transformed. It was very personal. Now, this fire and this sound was rather unique, or was unique to the day of Pentecost. But physical manifestations revolving, being touched by the Lord was not unique. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Now, I don't know how you can put any spin on it. It was shaken. I don't know if this building would still be standing if it was shaken. It's pretty old. It's got a lot of block holding it up. Maybe God supernaturally shook it and supernaturally held it together. Amen? Amen. How many of you are hoping that if God shakes this building, he holds it together too? Amen. Amen? We'll take that. It's a double miracle. Oh, he said, yeah, the shaking was the easy part. Holding the thing together, that was tough. Little joke on that. Okay. So, God shook them up. You ready to be shaken?
Yes, Mom.
How much you want? God's got all you can handle. You ready to be shaken? You ready for a supernatural reorientation in your life? If you're not, don't worry. You won't get it. God's not going to force you to do anything. But he will cause you to show up on Pentecost at City Heights Assembly so you can get a dose of it and get a little understanding. Because you know what? For me, it took 6 months. For some people, it takes years to come to an understanding and a comfort level with God, saying, God, I trust you enough to come near. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Believers spoke in other languages. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the sound what? Of the mighty wind. Or not of the mighty wind, but like a mighty wind. They came and heard these guys speaking in their languages. They're going, whoa, something unique is happening here today. Amen? The crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard. They were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Now, the fire and the sound were unique to Pentecost. The shaking was unique to Acts chapter 4. The speaking in tongues was not unique to Pentecost. We have other examples of that. Acts chapter 10, in Cornelius' house. Cornelius was important or distinct because he was a Gentile. And it's like, hey, you know, the Christianity had been just for Jews. And there was a belief that you had to be a Jew before you could become a Christian. And so Cornelius was a Roman soldier. And talks about here, it says, Peter went and God miraculously called. It's a great story. It's a great book, folks. It's a great book. Read the book. Amen? Acts chapter 10, 44 through 46. While Peter was still speaking, he's miraculously called to Cornelius' house. He goes there. He preaches. And they get saved. They receive the word of truth. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, those were the Jews, that were with Peter, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on these Gentiles. How did they know? For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Twice. There's more. In Ephesus, Apostle Paul shows up, finds some believers, said, have you guys, first thing, chapter 19, first thing out, have you guys received the Holy Spirit yet? They said, we didn't even know there's a Holy Spirit. Well, what baptism are you celebrating? Are you participating in the baptism of John? He says, let me get you guys squared up. Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what he did. They get saved. And it says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they cleaned these trees. I didn't realize this. You guys are getting cut out of the Word of God here. There we go. All right, now I can see it. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So you got fire, and you've got sound on Pentecost and speaking in tongues. You got shaken and prophesying in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 10, you have speaking in tongues. In Acts chapter 19, you have speaking in tongues. In Acts chapter 8, in Samaria, you've got some gift. We don't know what it is, but it was something that Simon the Sorcerer could see. And so what we have are these manifestations. And why do we study this stuff? So that we can understand what God's plan is for us. Amen? We are going to spend more time on this in the coming weeks. But I want you to notice that here on the day of Pentecost, they were speaking in languages that were understood by all the people that were there. They were there for Pentecost. Probably a lot of them came for Passover. They came from Parthians, Medes, Elamites. This is from verses 9 and 10 of Acts 2. Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Rome, Cretans, and Arabs. They traveled a long time. Probably came for Passover, stayed the 50 days to Pentecost, getting ready to leave. They were all over the place. And they said, wow, we can understand these guys in our own languages. And they miraculously were declaring the wonders of God. It would be as if I was preaching all of a sudden in Spanish, and Sergio could understand, and Adrian, and so, I don't know, how many of you guys speak Spanish? All these people with their hands up speak Spanish going, wow, did you know what you were saying? We didn't know you could speak Spanish that good. I'm looking for somebody else. Roki, you speak any, Filipino? Oh, Elsie, yeah. Now, if I started preaching in Chuuk, I would imagine you would be tripping too, right? And that's what these guys are doing. Wow, we're tripping. Look what they're saying. And they're glorifying God. Now, if I was preaching in Chuuk, do you think I'm going to be talking about a new recipe for lamb? I don't think so. Because we are participating in a supernatural event. And God would reorient you unto him to declare his glory. Can I get a witness on that? See, the question is how much do you want to change? Because God has got all the change that you can handle. He draws a crowd, and he puts his disciples on display. I mean, people come running. They go, what is that sound? I mean, you hear these guys thumping, thump, bump, bump, coming up, and nobody goes, oh, man, just another guy thumping. But what if there was no such thing as a car that could drive down the street thumping? Remember the ice cream man when you were a kid? Yeah. Ho, ho! That's what it was like, man. People came running because they had no clue what this was. What is it? What is it? What is making this sound? And all of a sudden, God's disciples are on display, participating in a miraculous thing that declares his glory. And the people are transformed. Do Do you want to be used by God? How much, how close would you let him come? I got saved by the Lord. And I just was radically transformed. We would get together at my mom's or with my mom's family at Thanksgiving. And on Thanksgiving, I was 29 when I got saved. So me and my cousin, we were old. And, you know, we just wanted to go to the bar. You know, let's get out of this town, you know. And we would just, we were bad guys, you know. And I get saved. And that next Thanksgiving, because I got saved, really transformed, like in January. And so the next Thanksgiving comes along, and I want to be involved in the prayer. And my Uncle Howard would talk like this, and he would say this prayer, and he would laugh like, and we were little kids, we'd always laugh at Uncle Howard's prayer. Yes, Lord, we thank you for the blessings on this family. And I'm serious, man, that's what he sounded like. And he was a big, fat guy. So I'm transformed, man, and I wanna be involved, Uncle Howard. I wanna do something. I'm gonna read from the Psalms. And he's like, "What?" You know, realistic, they're Episcopalian. What Psalms, you know? And I read from Psalms 34, first Thanksgiving that I ever got saved. I will extol the Lord at all times. My praise will always be on his lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. And I'm reading to my family. 50 people. They're going, "Is this the drunk guy?" And I said, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." And I'm telling you, the Lord got me a crowd, and I was declaring his glory. Amen. My question for you is, who do you know that God could glorify you, that you could then glorify him? How much are you ready for change? Because God has got all you can handle. Amen. Step in. You can be like this dude. What's that guy's name again? Arthur Blessed, man, he's going, "Hey, grab a cross. What do you want me to do? Go to El Cajon? Yeah, we'll start at El Cajon. And it, what, Alpine? That's uphill, Lord. Oh, yeah, let's go to Alpine. What more? Imperial Valley? Really, Holtville? Are you kidding me? El Centro? All them rocks, man, going over there? Yuma? And just keep going all the way around the planet. How much are you ready for change? God's got all you can handle. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Point number two. We okay? It's day of Pentecost. Watch out. Here we go. All right. God makes his people different. A lot of people don't want to be different. Hey, I like the dry cleaner thing. Acts chapter 2, 16 through 21. 16 through 21. This is Peter answering the questions of the guys that came going, "Man, you're freaking us out. How come you're speaking in these languages?" Said, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." He said, this is that. 800 years we've been waiting. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone," this is a good part, it's all good, "but everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Have you called upon his name?
Yeah.
Lord, save me. Have you been rescued by the Lord? Yeah. Has he transformed your situation? Many of you have. Many of you are figuring it out, stepping up. It is a good thing. God says, Joel said 800 years earlier, this is all part of the plan. God is shaking things up. He says, this is even a bigger display than what you thought. This is the birthday of the church. 3,000 people get saved. Now, I don't know what signs of the heaven he was talking about. 3 hours of darkness when Jesus hung on a cross. Blood and smoke and fire. Don't know what was going on at that time. But Joel speaks of a transformation. Men and women, young and old. I think that pretty much covers the room. Amen? You can be transformed. How much do you want? How much can you handle? God's got all that you can handle. Does it hit you? Are you ready to represent for God? Some people just say, no, not really. I'm about my own thing. I just want God to come in and fix up my stuff until I mess them up again. Then I'll call out some more. When I first heard of the baptism, I rejected it. You're joking, man. This is just too weird for me. The more I found out, the more I wanted to find out. After a little while, I wanted all that God had for me. Amen. Sometimes I had to get me out of the way to get more God in. Amen? Amen. Sometimes he'll be speaking to you and saying, no, 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 no. And you know what he says? Okay. How much do you want? He's got all that you can handle. Peter continues on. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. It was all part of the plan. And with you, and you with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. You know, sometimes we got stuff that we have done that we hope doesn't come back on us. Anybody, except for me, feel that way? Like, oh yeah, I'd rather just forget some of that crazy stuff I did, some of those Thanksgivings that I had. They'll come back. Got to deal with that stuff. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Hallelujah. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. And Peter is saying, this message that I am giving to you is not my message. It comes from above and it has been validated. It has been verified. It has been accredited from above by what? By Jesus' miracles, by Jesus' life, by his death that you guys participated in and his resurrection. That same power, Paul says, we can experience in this life. Oh, it's been verified. That same message was being verified in the actions of the disciples as they spoke in other tongues. But as we'll read in a few verses, that they were doing miraculous signs and wonders, that God was verifying and accrediting his messengers. Amen? Amen. The question today is, how much do you want to be accredited? How much verification do you want in your life? How much can you handle? Because God's got all you can handle and more. How real you want to be? How sold out? You got 40,000 miles dragging across this planet? 40 years, right? Was it 40,000 miles? Can you give me some crazy number? I don't know, 40,000. I don't know how big the planet is. What did he say? 100. Oh, 100. Okay. Miracles, death, resurrection. David said, I'm not shaking. You shaking? You got stuff going on in your life that shakes you to your core? Come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I tell you what, that guy, I gotta get that DVD. I'm teaching the youth, man. You know, I tell you what, when you were dragging the cross across the planet, I think a lot of the other stuff just kind of falls by the wayside. Amen? I mean, think about all the drama that you had last week. The most important thing, oh my, that if you were dragging across the Imperial Valley, all that would have just slid right behind you. Amen? See, when you are out for the Lord, when you are testifying for the Lord, all that little trivial crud that's going on in your life, just fall off the side. Because you're going, Lord, raise me up that I can be your witness. Raise me up that I can be your man, that I can be your woman. Because I'm going to take a risk here today. And I need you to back me up. You know what I'm talking about? How much change can you handle? God's got that much and more. God will transform your life. Say, God has accredited this man, and there are people in this room that have been accredited by God because they have been representing for him. Life will shake you up. You find comfort in the plan of God. Can you see his miracles and relax in him? You know who can relax in him today? Larry Freeman. Relax. Knowing that he is going to see the Lord high and lifted up. How many people have you seen on their deathbed that are freaking out? I have seen some. Why? They have no confidence. They are shaken in their life, and they know that their future is in doubt. And Larry,
thank you, Jesus.
The comfort and peace of the Lord upon that man. Praise the blessing on my daughter. Is that a pretty cool prayer? I tell you what, I take Larry's blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Whew. God has accredited Larry. God accredit you. How much you want? How much can you handle? Because he's got as much as you can handle.
Amen?
Last thing. God starts with a willingness to change. How willing to change are you? How much time do I got? All right, here we go. When the people heard this, he's preaching, he's talking about them crucifying Christ. What should we do? It says that they were cut to the heart, and Peter said to the other apostles, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I hope you have done that. He says, you do this and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off. We are pretty far off from Jerusalem, amen? But we got a promise that is for us. For all whom the Lord will call. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Repent. Be baptized. God starts with a willingness to change. How willing to change are you? Because we're talking about repentance. He's talking about doing an about face in your life. There are some things that we need to get away from. He calls it a wicked generation. It was wicked 2,000 years ago. It is still wicked today. Amen? There is wickedness that they had to get away from, and there is wickedness that we have to get away from. And the Lord right now might be speaking to your heart saying, there's some stuff that needs to fall off the side. What do you need to turn from in your life? God requires a response. Many of you are doing that. You are making changes. You are trusting God. You are being a witness. How much you want God? He's got all you can handle. Peter's talking about making a clean break from the past. There are some things that you will have to let go of if you are going to pursue God. There are things that you will have to let go of if you are going to pursue the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Wickedness. The stuff that just gets in the way. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. God gives you a whole new look. Whole new look. You ready to look new? How much you want it? Bible says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now for you, for some of you, that's going to be a radical transformation than what you did last week. This Saturday, prayer meeting, praying for the baptism, put it on their list of things to do. That way on next Saturday, I'll say, hey, where were you? No, I forgot. Well, I hope the baptism of the Holy Spirit is more important than that for you. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, and this was the message of the Gospels. You read the Gospels and you will read the apostles' teaching, how Jesus lived, the miracles that he did, the teaching that he had. The apostle Paul began to bake it down, and you know, 30, 40, 50 years went by. So this early church just had the teaching of Jesus, the miracles, and his life. In addition to that, there was the supernatural display that was happening. The miraculous signs and wonders that the disciples did. They raised people from the dead. Healed people right in the temple. It says that people sold their property and gave. Notice it doesn't say that people sold their property and they received. Because we can read that and go, yeah, I wish somebody would sell their property so that I can receive. But when you read it, it says they sold their property and they gave. Amen? So we got to remember which side of this we're supposed to be on. Leanne, come on up here. We're about done. See a power of God released in these disciples. See that power, and they were not shaken. There were many, many challenges that were coming upon the new church. The Romans were coming against them. The Jews were coming against them. But the display of God in might and in power caused them to grab on and not be shaken. So what are you looking for today? What do you want God to do for you today? How close will you allow him to come? Because he'll get as close as you'll allow him. For some of you, you have such wickedness in your lives, such depravity from the world that you know that if he comes close, you're going to have to let go of some of that stuff. And right now, I believe by his Holy Spirit that he is letting you know. Don't keep him at arm's length. Let him come close. That baptism of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you sit here today and you're thinking, brothers, what shall we do? What can I do? I am lost. Message for you today is the same message that went out 2,000 years ago from Peter. Repent and be baptized. Lord, I pray for each person here, Lord. Many of them have done that, given their lives to you, that they have made a confession of sin, that they have repented and turned away from their own lives, and they have put a focus upon you. And perhaps you are here this morning, and you would bow your heads with me, and you would say, oh Lord, I am indeed a sinner. I am indeed beset with wickedness, and you have called me out of darkness time and time again. But Lord, I have always been too busy. Lord, you've called me out of darkness many times, but Lord, every time you drew near, I ran away. But Pentecost 2014 is a different day. Holy Spirit is speaking right to your heart right now, saying, it is the time to be transformed. It is a time for me to come close and time for you to be transformed. Nobody looking around, but you're freaking. I'll tell you what, I was freaking when the Lord was speaking to my heart. He's speaking just right to you. Nobody else knows. Him and you. And he's saying, it's time for you to change. I got all the change you can handle. Right now, it's going to take a complete sacrifice in your life, but I can transform it. Nobody looking around. Nobody playing games. But right now, the Holy Spirit is speaking right to your heart, saying, you need to confess, you need to repent, and you need to be saved. If that is you this morning, the Holy Spirit is just on you. Just slide your hand up and say, Lord, I don't want to miss it today. Do this hand. Back here, several hands. You put your hand down right here in front of you. Yeah, got a knuckle bust from this kid. Sorry. Last chance. Nobody else looking around. Lord was on you. Said, put your hand up. You're freaking out. Saying, no. Don't push him off. Today could be your day, your last day, your last opportunity. Nobody looking around. That's for you right there. One last shot. God's saying, this is for you. Just slide your hand up. Here. Back there. Yes. Praise the Lord. Right now, Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord. I pray, Lord. Lord, we want you to come close. We want you to come near. We want you to transform us, each one of us, Lord, for the many, many hands that went up. No more games, no more playing, Lord. No more keeping you at arm's length, Lord. We want you to come near and transform our lives, our hearts, and our situations, Lord. We give you praise for that, Lord. We know that you are able. We will no longer be shaken, Lord. We pray your Holy Spirit would come and guide and direct each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
We're not done yet. You're here this morning, and I'm talking about how much you want the Lord to change you, and you know that there is some stuff that is going on in your life that's keeping the Lord off. And the Lord has said, you want me to move closer, you're going to have to move this out. You're going to have to make this change. And as he's spoken this to you over and over again in the past, he said, Lord, I'm just not ready. What you've said is, I don't want you that much. I'd rather have the pornography. I'd rather have my little chickie. My little honey is more important than you, God. Lord, my pizza is too important. Gluttony's a sin, folks. I don't know what you've got. My gambling, Lord, I have got to get up to Viejas or your casino here. It's more important than you. I'd rather have the Ahas in my buffet than your baptism. Sorry. It's how I roll, God. And you know what? Lord says, okay, there you go. Have that buffet. Hope it works out for you. But perhaps you are here, and this morning the Lord is speaking to your heart, and he says, you know what? You want to be transformed? I want to come closer. How close you want him? He's got all you can handle. He said, I want to handle some more, Lord. And you might be saying, Lord, I don't need Viejas that much anymore. I need you more than that. Lord, that little honey, she's been holding me back all these years. And Lord, you know what? I see how shallow I truly am. Lord, and I am going to make a break with this wickedness, and I'm going to draw near to you. Lord, I need to get my eating under control. I need to get my gambling under control, Lord. I need to get whatever your wickedness is. I'm going to get that. Lord, I want to get that change, Lord, because I want you to come close. And right now, the Lord, you know what it is. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You are saved. You have accepted him, and there is a battle of sin in your life. And right now, he is just blasting it out. You're afraid. I'm even going to mention your name in that sin. And I'm not. But right now, the Lord is saying, I know it is a stench to me. I want you to put it away, and there will be times of refreshing that will come. We're going to sing. The worship team can come up. We're going to sing in a moment. And I would like, if the Lord is speaking to you, I want you to just come up, and I want you to pray. And I don't, I don't know what that is. The Lord knows and you know. And I want you to come up as we begin to sing, and I want you to pray. And I'm going to pray with you that just pray over you that confession. The Lord will just cleanse all unrighteousness from you. We okay? Only got a couple minutes over. As we do that, as these people come and they're going to kneel, perhaps on this day of Pentecost in 2014, you are like me 20 some odd years ago when I was thinking, oh man, I so want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it's right down here, right down here. Lord, I don't completely understand, but Lord, from you, I just want it. I want to be baptized by your Spirit. I want to be transformed. Lord, I want that next thing. And as we sing, and you want that baptism, I'm going to invite you to come up, and I want to pray with you as well. I want you to continue coming. Next Saturday, we're going to pray. Next Sunday, this whole series, I want you to come. You come out with a greater understanding of what the Lord has for you. What do you do in your life? Amen?